What was the inspiration behind this book and research that the two of you and the colleagues of yours did?
What we wanted to do with the book was explore the histories of migration and the histories of television together. They're often told in very parallel channels. But we realised that the real changes to Australian society in the 1950s, with huge post-war migration programs that brought people from around the world to Little Australia, coincided with the launch of television and really mass media in Australia. So we wanted to bring those together and explore the hidden stories of migrants who came to Australia, contributed to making television in all sorts of ways, and also were a television audience.
I think Kate's definitely covered the reason the project existed, and she was the one who initiated it. If I can say very quickly, also I think there's been an increasing interest in the representation of cultural diversity on television. You can date some of those reports back to the 1990s, but the momentum of that reporting has certainly gone up in the last decade since Oscar So White and Logie So White. So we were also tapping into that interest in what was seen as the absence or the lack of representation of cultural diversity on our television screens. So some of that data already exists, which measures whether we are or aren't doing diversity properly, whether what's on TV is reflecting the population or the changing demographics of the nation. But I think this project was able to both have a historical overview of what's been happening behind the scenes and what's been happening in migrant families' houses, but also have in-depth interviews with contemporary viewers of television who are migrants themselves or children of migrants on what their views were on some of these topics, instead of just getting the data that you might get in a Screen Australia report, for instance.
You would have, I imagine, spoken to a lot of different people from migrant backgrounds in your research. Could you tell us a bit about the stories they were saying and how seeing themselves reflected or not reflected on Australian TV kind of affected them?
In the course of this research, we did quite a number of interviews with those people who were actors, producers, casting agents, so they were making television, and with others who were watching television, sometimes as very new migrants, sometimes as the children of migrants, in the family home. So we had a wide, wide range of stories. But what I think is a very strong line through that is the desire to see themselves and to see cultural difference and diversity on television, and the ways in which it appeared in various ways. So we did speak to, for instance, a group of women who were of Italian background, and they recalled watching television with their families on the weekend. Their parents often couldn't speak good English, but they watched, and they talked about the importance of seeing, for instance, championship wrestling and how exciting it was when there were wrestlers of Italian background. One of those women said that her parents liked to watch Bob Santa Maria on the television simply because he was Italian, not so much for his message. So I think there's a real sense of, for those watching, particularly young people who arrived in Australia or grew up in Australia and did use television as a way of gaining an insight into Australian society, but also wanting to connect with those particular characters. And then we also interviewed, as I mentioned, the producers of television, and their stories were somewhat different, often stories of some struggles to get the parts that they wanted, for instance, for actors, or to pursue those storylines, But there is a historical and I think generational dimension to this, where we see early decades, 50s, 60s, 70s, start to see real changes in the 1980s and the 1990s, both in the way television is made, but also in how it's watched. And I might hand over to Sukhmani for the later period.
Yes, if I had to cover the period of the streaming era, then it's interesting to see that some of the family rituals around watching television together certainly start to change. I think there was a very memorable story in our book about a Macedonian family who would used to watch Hey Hey It's Saturday together. And the person who we interviewed was talking about how having their dad cook rice pudding every time Hey Hey It's Saturday was on was a bit of a family ritual. So that unfortunately starts to change a little bit in the 90s, but most definitely about to 2010 onwards, I would say. So we have both in terms of the platforms that are being used and also in terms of whether people are watching individually or together. And you would say that's no different from the rest of Australia or the rest of the world, which is also exposed to the platforms, and there's more individual viewing on your own devices. What is interesting about these newer migrants or children of migrants who are watching on their devices or on streaming platforms is that they have access to a greater variety of content. So there's, again, a memorable story from an Afghan Australian, I think it's the Afghan Australian 20-something-year-old who lives in Western Sydney. And who doesn't like watching commercial Australian television like Home and Away and Bondi Rhett. And he definitely feels quite angry in his interview towards Bondi Rhett because he thinks that that is not representative of all Australian people or bodies, and prefers watching content on Netflix like Luke Cage, which is not Australian at all, but that kind of African American cultural idiom is more recognizable and more resonant with this particular viewer. Having said that, you know, there's also context where people are watching content in the early 2000s, which they've been exposed to from their parents and grandparents, like Kung Fu films, or, you know, things that they were watching because their grandparents were babysitting them, as well as watching play school, you know, regular Australian content. So I think there's a huge variety of stories from the early 2000s and especially 2010 onwards, but there is a definite switch to streaming and watching less Australian drama in the last 10 years or so.
Yeah, for sure. I think it's partially because we don't necessarily make as much as we used to or we should, especially on free to air. And even trying to access a lot of stuff from the past can be difficult. Even when I was researching for this, I came across a show via Wikipedia rabbit hole called The Girl from Steel City. It's like apparently SBS's first drama that they made, and you cannot watch it or find it anywhere.
I think that does raise an issue about how difficult it is often to do historical work and analytical work on our media and on television in particular. So one of the issues for us was, you know, there's not a big pile of archives that we can go and look at as you might do if you were researching some other topics. So we had to do the interviews to get the richness of the stories and in a way make our own archive, because quite a lot of what's made for television is ephemeral. It just disappears. It's not even kept by the broadcasters. So I think that does face, does present a bit of a challenge in doing the histories and the thinking through what's changing in the television industry. And, of course, it's changing very quickly with technology and with some shifting attitudes in the last 20, 30 years.
Your research has spanned quite a few different areas, and you're looking at things today and you're going back in time. What were some of the surprising finds of migrant involvement in TV that you might not have been aware of before?
Look, there were lots of surprises in the research. I think one of the things for me was a bit of a disruption of quite a strong narrative in Australia, that it was SBS broadcasting, which came into television in 1980, that first started to broadcast shows in languages other than English. Now, that's true to some extent in a larger way, but we found that in the 60s and 70s, there were programs that were on commercial television that were primarily in Italian and also in Greek. These were generally variety shows, sort of lifestyle shows where there'd be some entertainment and some discussion, very light shows. So we found that they existed and obviously had quite large audiences of migrants. But what was also interesting was that shows such as Italian Variety Style, and there's a Greek equivalent, were made by entrepreneurs, small-scale migrant entrepreneurs who packaged up segments of the show, again, often music, singing, chatting, put it together, went on commercial television, and then it was also sold overseas to diasporic communities around the world. So there's a lot of, innovation, some entrepreneurship, things going on that actually show that what's on the television is a bit more varied than we might think. That's one surprise, but there were many.
Yeah, I think that particular story was quite, that particular story of how the variety shows were so interesting and influential at the time, and people were actually watching them and they were being exported to other parts of the world, was a really interesting story for me as well. Because at the moment, with all the talk about diversity, when we were doing interviews and talking to viewers about shows like MasterChef and about The Family Law, for instance, there were very mixed responses in terms of whether people liked them universally, this is migrant viewers, or whether they were watching them like shows like The Family Law beyond the first season. So I think what I was finding was that there are big generational differences, and just because something was diverse or had a racially diverse cast didn't necessarily translate to migrant viewers liking a show or watching a show. And in terms of generational differences, I think what was surprising for me was to hear so many first generation migrant viewers who watched very ochre Aussie dramas like Neighbours and Home and Away to learn about Australian beach culture or Australian slang, which their kids completely looked down upon 10 or 15 years later. You know, for them, Home and Away or Neighbours was not something that they would boast to their friends about watching. So those generational differences to me were also surprising and interesting.
I think another area that you did sort of touch on a little bit in the article was with children's TV. I think one of the probably best examples would be Play School, where they kind of get representation right, where you do have people from varied backgrounds. Why do you think it is that we can kind of get that right for children's TV shows, but it seems to go a bit amiss when you're looking at sort of more dramas and other kinds of shows aimed for an older audience?
Look, children's television is very important and was, as you say, often a way in which adults learnt English by sitting with children watching television. And I think that in some ways children's television could be a bit more adventurous. It's under less scrutiny. It doesn't have the same, tie to ratings and so on. But certainly children's television, which does fulfil a very important function too of locally produced television. So it fills that quota that Australia had to produce its own shows, does have quite a lot of variety. Play School, I think, really stands out there. as well. And play school was also a way in which some of the segments would highlight other cultures and other customs and so on for children. So I think play school is very interesting. Another interesting story we found that concerns children's television was a show that was made in the 70s, Adventures on Kythera. And it was a story of an Australian family who goes to Greece. The parents are archaeologists and the children play with local Greek children and have adventures. What was particularly interesting about this program was that while it was written by Australians with input from migrant Australians as well, and it was filmed by Australians, it was made in Greece. And so it led to a whole lot of discussion about what is an Australian story? Should it be filmed and located in Australia? What does that mean to have a production that is showing Australians elsewhere? And this was important because it was about its issues of whether it filled that content quota of Australian-made TV. Eventually, after some period of time, it was decided, yes, it was. But I think it was an interesting case in throwing up those questions around what's an Australian story and who's in it. That becomes more pressing, I think, by the 90s and going onwards in adult-made television, particularly drama, as well.
What would you like people to take away from your book if they pick it up and read? What's the message you want to get out there?
I think the message that I'd say is that our history of television and cultural diversity in this country is complicated, and it's complex, and it's rich. And I think it's also about what we see on television and what how that reflects our own lives is very important in shaping how we feel as a nation. And the more that we can see cultural diversity, different people from different backgrounds, different religions, different ways of participating in our society, the more that we can see that, the more that we can understand others. And I suppose I would say that my more recent message from the book would be that at a time when we're seeing some divisions in Australian society, and particularly over questions of cultural diversity and migration, it's really important that our media is actually reflecting back to us the very rich stories of so many different Australians from so many different backgrounds.
Yeah, and I think as a segue to that, I think the story of migrants in this country, especially in a country like Australia, where we've had migrants really in from the end of the Second World War as nation builders, so the story of nation building and the story of migration and then the story of television in Australia have almost run parallel to each other. So I think migrants as nation builders is a really important story to tell and to tell repeatedly, because that has definitely been forgotten or sidelined in the current moment. We hear the story of migrants as contributing to economic productivity, and I think the productivity of the television industry is part of that, but there's also the cultural enrichment, which is not just about celebrating their own distinctive cultures, but also producing a hybrid culture, which Kate just talked about this, that meshes, what they've brought from their home countries with Australian and First Nations tradition. And that's what we have seen reflected back to us on many of the best Australian drama and comedy. So I think highlighting that and reinforcing those stories is extremely important in the current moment.